I'd like to welcome everyone out this morning. This morning, the young men are going to be speaking on several of the Psalms of David. This morning, we're going to, these Psalms focus on David's communication with God and show us a way that we can pray. Let's look at Acts 13, verse 22 first. I want to read that. So going to the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 22, it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised." God called David a man after his own heart. This doesn't mean he was perfect. There were plenty of people in the Old Testament, even, that you could say were more morally pure than David. But only David was described this way in the scriptures. There are different opinions on what this phrase means, but I tend to think it means that David had a heart that's like God's. He had the same way of thinking as God. His motivations were the same as God's. He had similar character. This is one of the reasons the Psalms of David are so valuable for us to study. In them, we get a glimpse into the mind and into a mind that operates like God's mind. David's heart is laid bare in the Psalms as he is willing to talk about his victories as well as his failures. Regardless of his situation, we see some consistent themes in David's writing. He consistently praises God and reveres his word, whether he's in the heights of joy or in the lows of grief and failure. David deals with his failures head on without excuses and is fully open. Many of David's Psalms are written directly as communication to God. One of the best ways we can learn to communicate better with God or to pray is to read and study the Psalms of David. In the Psalms, we see how someone who thinks like God talks to God. David was a shepherd, an artist, a celebrity, a king, and a sinner. And all of these show up in the Psalms he writes. Today, we're going to have Gavin talking about Psalm 13. Kaz will be talking about Psalm 18. Micah will talk about Psalm 23. And Raven will speak on Psalm 28. All right. Go ahead, Brother Gavin.
Good morning. Today we are going to examine Psalm 13. Psalm 13 reflects a period of intense struggle and perceived abandonment in David's life. This time in David's life was a time of lament when King Saul was trying to kill David. Please turn to Psalm 13, where we will read about and discuss David's despair, his petition to God, and David's ability to recognize when the Lord has heard him, answered him, and David chooses to praise him. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, and lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's talk about David's despair. David is feeling sorrowful and thinks the Lord has forgotten him. He asked the Lord how much longer he will endure suffering, sorrow, and lack of triumph over his enemies. Have you ever felt forsaken or abandoned? David is feeling forsaken. There may be times where we feel like God has forsaken us, but we should know that he always has a plan for us. David shows the Lord his honest emotions and his plea for help. One thing we can learn from these first two verses is to be open and honest with God in our prayers. We need to tell God exactly how we are feeling and what we are struggling with in our daily prayers. Next, let's look at David's petition to the Lord in verses 3 and 4. David is petitioning God to enlighten my eyes. This probably means that he is seeking to understand his situation with more clarity. He is also asking God to help save him from his enemies. From this, we can learn that we need to seek God for help overcoming our challenges. We need strength to do this, and that strength comes from God. David knows he can't overcome the challenge he's facing without the Lord's help. We need to have the same mindset when we are faced with challenges. Without God providing us strength and wisdom, we can't hope to overcome the obstacles in our own way. Now we can talk about David's trust in verse 5 and 6. David is thanking God for his mercy, and he trusts that God will intervene and provide salvation. David has trust in God's steadfast love. These verses show that David has gone from despair and sorrow and turned to singing praises to God. David is rejoicing in salvation, showing his faith in God in spite of his circumstances. And he knows that God will see him through his troubles. David is also thanking God for the many blessings he has received in his life. In the end, we need to have faith in God to bless us and help us through those struggles, no matter how great or small they might be. We also need to thank God for all the blessings he has given us, and we should have faith that he will continue to give us those blessings and give us strength to overcome those challenges. As the author of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 wrote, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Thank you for your time.
Hi, this morning I'll be talking about Psalm 18. Psalm 18 is the fourth longest psalm, so I won't have time to read the entire psalm in this lesson, but we'll cover the main points. According to the scripture, David writes in the psalm, "On the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and into the hand of Saul." David was delivered from Saul by God on multiple occasions, but we don't know exactly when this psalm was written. All we know is he's praising God and thanking him after one of these moments of deliverance. And there are several themes that David wrote into this psalm that we'll look at later in this lesson, but the overall theme is praise and deliverance. There are four repeated themes in this psalm. God is David's strength, David calls upon God, God delivers David, and praise and thanksgiving. Let's start with the idea that God is David's strength. Please turn to Psalm 18 in your Bible. In the first verse, David begins the psalm by declaring that God is his strength when he says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, and my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." David refers to God as his rock and fortress. Back in David's day, a fortress was a refuge that you could use to keep enemies out. It was impenetrable and unmovable, and in the same way, God is an impenetrable fortress for David, somewhere he can go to be impervious from his enemies. The second repeated theme that we can find in the Psalm 18 is that David calls upon God. Psalm 18, verses 3 through 6 say, "I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompass me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrify me. The cords of Sheol surround me, and the snares of death confront me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to God for help. And he heard my voice and came out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears." In this verse, we watch David realize as he's surrounded by his enemies that the only thing that can save him is God. And in this moment of greatest distress, he calls on God to save him. David displays incredible faith by making a decision that that not many people would be brave enough to make, and trust God to deliver him from his enemies. The third theme of this psalm is that God delivers David. Verses 7 through 19, David uses very vivid imagery to describe God delivering David from his enemies. He starts by describing the deep despair that he was in when he was being prosecuted, and then his exaltation of God following his deliverance. To give an example, verses 7 through 9 read, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and Most High uttered his voice, hailstones of coals and fire. He sent out arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance, and routed them, and the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, and the blast of your breath of your and the blast of the breath of your nostrils." David uses such powerful imagery to let us know how thankful he is to God, and how much he honored and feared God because of how God had delivered him. The final theme that we'll look at is thanksgiving and praise. Verses 46 through 49 say, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. The God who executes vengeance for me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. Surely you will lift me above those who rise up against me. You rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name." In this verse, David talks about how worthy God is of praise. He is the all-powerful creator, and he delivers those who call upon him from their enemies. In today's world, we don't face the same challenges that David did, such as prosecution and the threat of being hunted and killed by Saul. But it is important to take the same lessons to heart. God has the power to be a fortress that protects us from evil, and it is important to call upon God to protect us from harm and keep us on the right track. God will deliver us from our enemies because he is the creator and he has power over everything. And it is important to praise and exalt God because of who he is and what he will do for those who call upon him. Thank you.
Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 23, please. Throughout the whole Old Testament, there are shadows that point towards something better in the future. A shadow is a rough idea of what something is. It can be learned from, but the details that are important to create the complete picture are missing. Psalm 23 is a messianic psalm, meaning it is little shadows of what was going to come. The Messiah, who we know as Jesus, the Good Shepherd. As we read through this, keep in mind that this is talking about Jesus. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Jesus provides a relationship. Jesus is the shepherd, and sheep are his Christians. In order to have a good relationship with someone, you have to be around them. Be able to have a conversation which involves speaking and listening. Jesus listens to me when I pray, and he talks to me when I read his words. I have what I need. Jesus supplies what we need. Physically, God provides food and water and shelter. Spiritually, he provides forgiveness, salvation in the Bible. Emotionally, he provides peace from anxiety, comfort, love, and hope. He lets me lie down in green pastures. Jesus gives rest. Jerusalem only gets 23 inches of rain a year. It is enough to grow little sprigs of grass. It is not a lot of grass, but little sprigs. There is enough to take a bite and keep walking. The shepherd will walk the sheep around until they are all filled. God doesn't lead us through beautiful, lush pastures. He takes us through the sprigs, giving us what we need. Some days we may be blessed with a lot of sprigs, and other days only a little, but we will have what we need. A shepherd would put boundaries up for his sheep at night so they would be safe and able to rest peaceably. God gives us boundaries in his word to keep us safe and allow us to be at peace. He leads me by the quiet waters. Jesus is refreshment. Think of how wonderful a cool drink of water is on a very hot day. That's what Jesus is. He's the calm and the crazy. He renews my life. Jesus is healing. Jesus gives us spiritual and emotional healing when our hearts are hurt. He leads me along the right paths. Jesus provides guidance. Jesus leads us on the safe paths, showing his strength and wisdom to know what path is the right path. For his name's sake, Jesus is our purpose. Without Jesus, everything is pointless. He gives our lives meaning. Even when I go through the darkest valley, Jesus allows testing. You will have hard times. God allows us to be tested. This helps teach us and make us more reliant on him. Eventually, death will come, and we don't have to be fearful because Jesus will be with us. I fear no danger. Jesus is protection. During the trials or when we are walking through the dark valley, he is protecting us. For you are with me. Jesus is faithful. Jesus will never leave us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus gives discipline. Discipline is teaching. God disciplines those he loves, just like a father here on earth would discipline his child. You can also find that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. A shepherd would use his staff to defend the sheep against predators and provide gentle correction. Sometimes discipline is easy. Sometimes it is very hard and not fun. Good discipline requires both, which is why God allows different kinds of trials. Jesus protects us from spiritual dangers. All discipline should come from a place of love and with a heart to teach. Verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus gives hope. When bad things are happening and you feel like everyone is against you, Jesus is in your corner. You anoint my head with oil. Jesus is considerate. At that time of day, in the time of David, great hospitality was shown when they would anoint their guest's head with oil, providing relief from the heat of the sun and also showing them honor. Jesus always showed great consideration, washing the disciples' feet, serving, and above all, showed great sacrificial love when he got on the cross for all mankind. My cup overflows. Jesus gives abundantly. God has given me more than I need in abundance. I should be ready and willing to share whatever I have with a happy heart. Verse 6, only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Jesus is a blessing. It is an incredible blessing to have those good things come after me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Jesus is security. I won't need to find a place to live. Jesus has given me that. As long as I live, Jesus is eternity, forever with Jesus. Life is not about what you have, but who. Please bow your heads with me as I close with a prayer. Lord, you are holy, compassionate, sovereign, and merciful. Thank you for being our shepherd and wanting a relationship with us. You have supplied all we need. Thank you for the rest you give. Thank you for the quiet times of refreshment. Just like a shepherd would lead his sheep and have a drink from quiet waters. You renew our lives and provide healing. You guide us along the right paths if we are willing to follow you. For your name's sake, you are our purpose. Even when you allow us to go through dark valleys of testing, we aren't afraid because you are with us, providing protection and faithfulness. Your rod and your staff of discipline provide comfort to us. You give us a hope when you prepare a table for us, even when our enemies are around. Your consideration makes our cup overflow with the abundance you provide. What a blessing. Only goodness and faithful love will follow us for as long as we live. Lastly, thank you for the security of a home with you in your house, Lord, for as long as our souls live throughout eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your time.
Today, we will be discussing Psalm 28 and what it means for us. Psalm 28 is one of David's psalms in which he prays God will hear him and help, and in which he shows confidence in his prayer. In verse 1, David prays, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest, if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." In this verse, he is praying for the Lord to hear him, and goes on to ask for him to not stop answering him, like how God doesn't answer prayers of those who don't believe in him. In the following verses, David goes into this more to show a contrast between himself and them, and ultimately to give thanksgiving to the Lord to not be put together with this group, and also for his ability to have his prayers answered. In the psalm, he goes into this by saying in verse 3, "Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up." This is to give a contrast to his thanksgiving of not being put with these people. In verses 6 through 9, he praises the Lord with full confidence that his prayer will be answered. This also applies to us, in which we are called to have confidence in our prayers. In 1 John 14 through 15, It reads, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." This is talking about the confidence we have in Jesus and how that relates to prayer, in which if we have confidence in him, we should have confidence in prayer. And just like we have confidence in prayer, David does also. This is seen in verses 6 through 9 of this psalm, which he says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever." So let us all have more confidence in our prayers, just like David did. Thank you.
I want to thank each of these young men. They did a great job this morning. It was great to hear more about David and his prayers to God and his communication with God. At this time, let's bow in prayer and then we'll be dismissed to our classes.